As a director, the 80-year-old Clint Eastwood isn't even close to hanging up his six-shooter. With more than 30 features under his belt, his latest is the supernatural drama Hereafter, starring Matt Damon. The script is by Peter Morgan, who wrote The Queen and Frost Nixon. Film critic David Edelstein has this review.
In Clint Eastwood's Hereafter, three people in three countries have close personal encounters with death and subsequently find it impossible to connect with the living. And the film follows each character in turn until they finally meet. I won't say what happens when they do, but I thought of Gertrude Stein's unjust verdict on Oakland. There is no there there. Oh, there is a hereafter in the film, a life beyond this world. You see that in the first 10 minutes. But the movie itself is hung up in a kind of twilight zone, too mawkish and lame to make a decent ghost story, too contrived to tell us anything enlightening about how to live in the shadow of death. The film ends small, but starts really, really big, with a tsunami crashing into a Pacific beach resort and carrying off, among others, Cécile de France's French TV reporter, Marie. The sequence is fast, tight, and convincingly real. But when Marie gets conked on the head and stops breathing, she has a vision of the tidal realm. And it's dismayingly tacky and threadbare, a whitish void in which streaky human silhouettes stare into the camera. Yes, it's better than the other extreme, Peter Jackson's effects-heavy post-mortem playhouse in The Lovely Bones. But it suggests all the same that the dead have nothing better to do than stand around waiting for people to poke their heads in, or for someone like Matt Damon's George to carry messages from one side to the other. George is Hereafter's second protagonist. He gave up a lucrative career as a medium, talking to the dead. But his brother, Billy, played by Jay Moore, continues to bring colleagues to see him.
Another person came to see me for a reading. Thanks to your friend, Mr. Andrio.
What?
Look, I'll have a talk with him, make sure nothing like that ever happens again, okay?
And what?
Did you do it?
What?
The reading. Did you do the reading?
You still don't get it, do you? You think just because I can make money doing this, just because I can, that I should do it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I also think you have a duty to do it because you have a gift.
It's not a gift, Billy. It's a curse.
When he communicates with the dead, George sounds like a typically bogus cold reader. He says things like, "I'm seeing a woman with dark hair, is that right?" But he's supposed to be the real McCoy, a man who can grasp someone's hand and see that tacky whitish void in which streaky human silhouettes stare into the camera. The third protagonist is Marcus, a working-class London boy whose twin brother gets run over by a car. Snatched from his junkie mom and placed in foster care, Marcus googles in anguish for someone to help him talk to his brother, preferably, since he's so needy, on a daily basis. That's where the movie meanders for a long hour, with Marcus trying to see the dead, George trying not to see them, and Marie wandering around visiting researchers, asking whether she saw what she thinks she saw. A scientist, played by Marta Keller, who claims once to have been an atheist, tells her, "The evidence is irrefutable." The evidence, of course, is thoroughly refutable. But you can be a card-carrying skeptic like me and still enjoy comedies like Ghost Town, or horror pictures like Poltergeist, or even sappy romantic thrillers like Ghost. Not Hereafter, though. Peter Morgan's script is credulous in the most simplistic, sentimental way imaginable. He says he wrote it after losing a close friend in an accident and longing to make contact with the other side. So he creates a world in which there seems to be some kind of conspiracy to keep us all from knowing the dead have messages for us, messages that boil down to forget about us and live your life. Good advice. It's a long decrescendo of a movie, directed in Eastwood's patented laconic style that sometimes works and sometimes, like here, is dull and impersonal. The solemn, guitar-heavy score Eastwood wrote doesn't liven things up, and neither does Damon, who's glumly self-effacing, until the bewildering final scene, in which George is suddenly able to see the future as well as the dead. Hereafter closed the New York Film Festival and has been hailed in some quarters as a masterly summing up of Eastwood's long career, which is kind of alarming. They're raving about him as if he's already given up the ghost.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer is Roberta Shorrock. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support from Joyce Lieberman and Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Melody Kramer is our associate producer of online media. Sue Spolin directed the show. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.